So it's a cold morning, and you all came this morning, so we really appreciate that. It's especially cold when you're just coming from India. I just came back. I was in, by the great fortune of the Lord, I was in Sri Vrindavan for 6 weeks, and it was very beautiful. How many of you have never been to Vrindavan? Okay, then you haven't lived. So Vrindavan is very special for us. Vrindavan is, they say, the playground of God. So Vrindavan is the place where Krishna just has all of his divine pastimes. And because Vrindavan is Krishna's home, that means Vrindavan is everyone's home, because everyone is connected to Krishna in a relationship of love. And so going to Vrindavan, they say, is the journey home. Right now, we think so many different places are home. Maybe you think South Norwood is home. Of course, South Norwood Temple is home because this is a recreation of Vrindavan. But wherever we grew up, wherever we're living, wherever we're working, we have to always wake up in the morning and remember we're just in the transit lounge, just here for some time. Somehow, all of us, we're here in this room, we all came from different places. Yeah. Once I was on the street and I stopped someone and said, "Hey, how are you doing? Where are you from?" He said, "My mother's womb." I understood that point. But where, like, before? Who were you? Where were you? Sometimes you have to stop and think, who was I? Where was I? How is it that I ended up in South Norwood? How is it that I ended up here? You see, we all have our own history. When we were at university, we were doing Krishna conscious programs at the university, so we would find different ways of attracting people. So we had one devotee, and he was skilled in the art of past life regression. Have you ever done a past life regression? They can put you in a hypnotism, like, and you have a vision of who you were in your previous life. I'm not suggesting you do this. But we were trying to find that. So we used to do these programs. Find out who you were in your previous life. This is how we were attracting people. I don't know if we do that now, but we did it at that time, 25 years ago. And I tried 10 times to have a vision of who I was in my life, and somehow for me it didn't work. But I witnessed many people who had, you may say it's imagination, maybe it was real, I don't know, but many people who had a vision of who they were in their previous life. One girl, I remember, she was crying, and she said, "I'm on a boat, and I'm in an African body." She was an English girl. She said, "I'm in an African body." I said, "Why?" So the person said, "Why are you crying?" She said, "Because the person is threatening to throw me overboard." So maybe she was a slave child or something like that. And then he connected it to many things in this. He said, "Are you afraid of water?" She said, "Yeah, I'm afraid of water." So, you see, we come into this life with a history. And we're here in this transit lounge. And actually, what we're all really trying to do in the core of our hearts is find happiness. And we've tried so many ways to try and find happiness. And after some time, we realize, I don't think so. Happiness is outside of there, outside in the world, outside doing everything that everyone else is doing. Black Friday turned into Golden Friday yesterday because the devotees distributed 100 books. I think that deserves a Haribol.
Haribol!
So yeah, we were knocking the doors. Maybe people had spent the day shopping, and maybe they were spending the evening watching the football. And but still many books went out because, yeah, deep within people, people are questioning, isn't it? Like Ashish, is Ashish, so isn't it, we had so many amazing conversations. We were out together yesterday with all these conversations with people, isn't it? This one lady was talking about how her son died 25 years ago in Thailand or somewhere. And many questions you could see in her heart. So the devotees of the Lord are incredible. Because what the devotees of the Lord do, they are like ambassadors of the spiritual world. You see, like they come to the world, they come down to where we are, and they remind us that we're not meant to be here, we're meant to be somewhere else. They are the messengers of God. I say the devotees are like agents of Vamandev. You know the story of Vamandev? Don't know the story? In the 8th canto of the Bhagavatam, Krishna comes in an incarnation called Vamandev, small dwarf boy. And he comes to the king Bali Maharaj. And he says to the king Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj looks at him, he's a small young Brahmana. And Brahmana means you should give some dan, some charity. So then he says to Vamandev, what would you like? I can give you anything. I'm a king. I can give you anything. So Vamandev says, Krishna, in the form of a dwarf boy, the Brahmin boy, he says, I don't need much. Just give me 3 steps of land. So why 3 steps? Because if you walk 3 steps, then that's enough space in which to lie down. So what do you need really to survive? You just need some place to sleep, that's it. And then otherwise everything is provided by God. So he said, I just want 3 steps of land. So Bali Maharaj said, I'm in charge of so many kingdoms, I have so many things. I can give you anything. Is that all you want? 3 steps of land? And Vamandev said, yeah, that's all I want. It's enough. So Bali Maharaj said, okay, I'll give you 3 steps of land. Now Bali Maharaj's guru was Sukracharya. He understood, no, there's something fishy going on here. It's not what meets the eye. He's going to trick you. Bali Maharaj, he just wants 3 steps of land. What's the problem? And then in that moment, when he agreed to give the charity, then Vamandev expanded. And as he expanded, with the first step, he covered all the lower worlds. With the second step, he covered the rest of the worlds. He covered everything in 2 steps. And Vamandev looked at Bali Maharaj and he said, but you promised 3. Bali Maharaj said, what to do? With 2 steps, you've taken everything. Bali Maharaj said, okay, the 3rd step you can put on my head. And that signified complete surrender. So the devotees of Krishna are like agents of Vamandev. Can you see? They come into your life and they say, you don't have to change your life. I'm not asking you to make major changes to your life. Just add a little bit of Krishna. Just chant. One round. Just come once a week. Just do something small. Chant and be happy. It's a very simple process. It's not a revolution. But they are agents of Vamandev. Because before you know it, they keep adding so much more, there's nothing left in your life. And they make your whole life into Krishna. But that's very nice, because we need to be tricked. The reality is we need to be tricked, because we're unwilling. You see, everyone in this world is going to be tricked. Either you be tricked by the material energy, or you be tricked by Krishna and his agents. One way or another, you will be tricked. Because It's like when you go out and you see a shop sign, and it says sale, and it says £1,000, the price tag says, and it says £250 off. Then when you buy the thing, you think to yourself, I've saved £250. But actually what you've done is you spent £750. But they trick you. They trick you to think you've actually saved when they've induced you to actually spend. So everyone is being tricked in the world. It's the world of the cheaters and the cheated. So then Krishna's devotees, they come and they trick us. One time Srila Prabhupada, he had one disciple, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and he said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, I want you to go to India and preach. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, Srila Prabhupada, I'll go anywhere in the world you tell me to go, but not India. So Prabhupada said, why? He said, because Indians are too tricky. So he says, you know, like Indians, they're too tricky. They're never straightforward. So Srila Prabhupada said, but I am an Indian. He said, no, not you, Prabhupada. I mean the other Indians. And then Prabhupada smiled at me and he said, no, I am also tricky. Because I tricked you into becoming Krishna conscious. So this movement, the devotees in this movement, the process in this movement, actually is tricking us because we're unwilling at the moment. We're very miserly, isn't it? We're very miserly. We don't want to just give ourselves. In Gujarati they say kanjus. Basically, you have so much you can give, but you don't want to give. We don't want to give our time. We don't want to give our energy. Okay, little bit I'll give, but I need to hold back also for myself. So then gradually, through this whole process of Krishna consciousness, we become tricked. And it's very beautiful because it connects us to what we're really looking for. You know, the top four ways in which people relax in this world. Number one, they take intoxication. Number two, go on holiday. Number three, go to sleep. And number four, watch a movie. Okay, these are the top four ways in which people relax. They go to sleep, take intoxication, watch a movie, or go on holiday. Can you see what the common thing between each one of those things is? Yeah, sorry?
Tricking the mind.
Tricking the mind? Yeah? Escaping. What else?
Escaping.
It's an escape. It's an escape. When you take intoxication, you forget about your life. When you go on holiday, you forget about your life. When you watch a movie, you forget about your life. When you go to sleep, you forget about your life. Basically, what people are trying to do when they relax is they're trying to forget their life. Why would you want to forget? You don't need a sun. You don't need a moon. You don't need electricity. You don't need the national grid. An abode. And that abode is self-illuminated. And Krishna says, is full of happiness, is full of bliss. And what Krishna says, Yadgatva, once you go to that place, Nanivaratanti, you don't have to come back here. When you go to sleep, you have to come back. When you take intoxication, you have to come back. But Krishna says, when you reach that place, you don't have to come back, because that's your eternal home. That is Vrindavan. So, here we are, we're in December, and we make this big push, like everyone should go out and distribute books. I tell you, there were two things in my life, when I joined the Hare Krishna movement, I said, I like these people, I like this process, I like the prasadam, but I'm not going out on Harinam, and I'm not going out on book distribution. My personality was, in my life, I never wanted to stick out. But when I was about 14 years old, I grew. Over 6, I don't know, all my friends are like short, and I'm like, I don't want to stick out. But then immediately, and then later I grew up, I thought, okay, I'm a little taller than everyone else, but let me just make sure I don't stick out, I just be in the crowd. And then you decide to become a Hare Krishna. And then you really stick out, because like all your habits are different, all your lifestyle is different. And then later on I decided to become a brahmachari. And then you walk around in bright orange clothes, and you kind of start sticking out, you know? I'm like, this was never my plan. I was always trying to be in the crowd. Why do I keep sticking out? And then I became a brahmachari, and they said, everyone has to go out and hurry up and book distribution. I mean, if you don't want to stick out, I mean, and basically make a spectacle of yourself. Right? So every week they would go out on Harinam. It was compulsory when you joined temple. And every week I used to make up an excuse. No, there's no one to wash the pot. So I stay back. I make the sacrifice. So every week I used to make a different excuse. I dodge it every week. And I'm from Wembley. So what happened, one is coming up to Diwali, and the devotees said, there's a big, you know, Diwali parade in Wembley, they do it along the E Road. And I was like, I definitely got to dodge that one. That's like my hometown. And then they said, no, everyone has to go out of this, the whole of the Soho is coming, the manor's coming, everyone's coming, and all the devotees must go out. So then I thought, okay, this one, it doesn't look like I can get out of it. But the saving grace is that hundreds of devotees are going to be there. So basically, you just wear a long coat, wear a big hat, and just be right in the middle of the crowd. And, you know, it lasts 1 hour, boom, finished. So finally, I convinced myself, okay, I have to do this, you know, I have to go out and hurry now. But it's okay. We'll work it out. So somehow the minibus left, all the coaches and the minibus left, and then I was trying to get there a little late, crowd, but none of them were devotees. Because from far I thought, oh yeah, there's a big crowd there, everyone's rich. And then when I got there, no one, there's no devotees. They're all like stewards and onlookers. And so I said to him, where's all the devotees? He said, no, the coach got stuck in a traffic jam, and you know, they're arriving, they're coming, but they're not quite here yet. So I thought, oh my God, you know, like, Krishna is really... And then an announcement came, and the procession is starting, and the Hare Krishnas will lead the procession. And I'm like, there's no Hare Krishnas here, you know? There's no Hare Krishnas here. And then one of the stewards, he says, no, you guys, you begin. And then basically he just put a mridanga around me. And he said, there's no one here, but you got to, the show must go on. You have to lead. And I'm like, I don't want to speak out. So, can you imagine the position Krishna put me in on Diwali? With hundreds of people on either side of the street, you know, they have barricades and there's a hole. And then there's a float going down, and somehow or other, I'm right there in the middle, leading the kirtan, and like everyone is looking at me. And I thought, Krishna, you really have a sense of humor. I surrender. So, Harinam, book distribution, I never wanted to do it actually. I thought, no. I don't know, I'm just like, let people get on with their life, I'll get on with my life. But shall I tell you one thing? When I started going out on book distribution on Harinam, even though I didn't want to, Later on, I realized this is the most amazing thing in the world. You know, sometimes we think we have to go to the spiritual world to participate in Krishna's pastimes. Actually, that's wrong. Krishna's pastimes are going on here. Krishna's pastimes are going on in this world. Because Krishna came to this world as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna told all of his followers, Prati ghare ghare giya magiye ye bhiksha, bolo Krishna, bhajo Krishna, koro Krishna shiksha. Go to every home, go to every person, and in the spirit of love, give them information, give them inspiration, give them instructions in a full mood of how to actually find happiness. And you know, when you do that, when you go out, you make that effort, you come out of the comfort zone, you do something that's a little alien for you, and you try to reach out and help people in compassion, amazing things happen. Amazing miracles, mystical, magical, moving moments in life. My strongest experiences of Krishna's presence have been while going out, trying in some small way to connect people to the spiritual happiness. So you can be in Krishna's pastimes in the here and now. And that is book distribution. So it feels sometimes to some of us a little alien because we're shy, because we're a little, we don't want to be like a disturbance to other people. We don't want to stick out, and it's a little uncomfortable. But actually, people are waiting. People are waiting to meet a book distributor. People are waiting to receive a spiritual message. And all we have to do is go out. And if we go out, you'll begin to meet people. You'll begin to realize that actually Krishna's arranging everything and I just have to be the instrument. And amazing, incredible things will happen. You just have to try. I often tell this story of how one morning I was getting ready to go out on book distribution, and on my phone I got 20 missed calls from a certain number. But it was just a number, it wasn't a name, so it wasn't in my phone book. So I thought, who called you 20 times? That must be urgent, you know? So then I called back that number, but no one answered. But I thought, someone to call you 20 times must be important. So then what I did is I saved that number in my phone book, you know, like when you run your phone book, and I saved it as A. It's still there. See that? A. So I saved that number in my phone book as A, and I thought, let me ring back later, because if they rang me 20 times, it must be important. 1 year went past, and I never called that number again. And then what happened, 1 year later, I was getting ready to go out on book distribution again. Sometimes you move your phone and da da da, and by accident it started ringing. So I looked at my phone and it said, hey, ringing. I thought, oh my God, that was from 1 year ago. And then I listened and it was ringing. So I thought to myself, that was 1 year ago, let me just put that phone down. So I just cancelled the call. That day I went out on book distribution and I met someone in the middle of the day and they were so interested. So they took all the books and then he walked away and then he came back after 3 minutes and he said, you know, it's funny that I should meet you today because this morning a Hare Krishna called me. So I said, who was it? Maybe I know who that is. He said, I don't remember the name. And they pulled out his phone and he went through his phone book and he said, Sutapa. You know who that is? And I'm like about to faint. I'm like, that's me. He says, what do you mean that's you? I said, no, no, that's me. I showed him my ID card. He said, but how did you call me? And then I said to him, and then I remembered, oh, that number I called in the morning. So I got my phone out. I went to A. I said, 078, da, 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 is this your number? He said, how did you get my number? I said, how did you get my number? And what had basically happened is that 1 year ago, he was looking for spiritual books. He knew someone who knew me. So this person said to him, here's this monk's number. If you call him, he can give you spiritual books. So he called me 20 times. But we never connected. 1 year later, I accidentally call his number. And then I go to Banbury, a town I've never been to before, and in the midst of thousands of people, I meet that very person that I called that morning. Chance, right? How can it be chance? These are all Krishna's pastimes. These are all Krishna's arrangements. This is all Krishna's plan. So we have an opportunity to be part of that magic. Sometimes people say, I don't know, when I chant, I don't feel Krishna. When I read, I don't feel Krishna. I come in front of the deities, I don't really see Krishna. Is Krishna really real? I don't know if Krishna, it sounds nice, but I never experienced Krishna. Go out and preach. Then you have no shadow of a doubt that Krishna exists. Because things happen and you realize Krishna is up to something. So it's the greatest opportunity to be part of Krishna's pastimes. When we go out and share in a spirit of love, a few things happen. The first thing that happens is we are able to help many people. And you know how much suffering there is out there? They say the world is smiling faces, crying hearts. Once I was on book distribution, 3 days in a row, I met 3 different individuals who were all going to commit suicide that very day. And one of them even showed me the rope that he was going to use to hang himself. There's so much suffering out there. There's so much difficulty. You know, like when we used to go on the marathon, then we would be like, the devotees would be like the first people on the street and the last ones to leave. So sometimes we'd get on the street at 8 o'clock in the morning before the shoppers. And then distribute all day, and you'd stay right till no one was left. Right, so about 9 o'clock. 8 o'clock, shops close. By 9 o'clock, no one's there. And then the devotees would go. But you know, there's a time on the street about 9 o'clock, 8:45, 9 o'clock, when all the shoppers leave. A transition happens in the town. Because what happens is all the shoppers leave. And then at that moment, all the homeless people come in. And then they all take a shop, which is where they're going to sleep for the night. And then you begin to see the whole street in different reality. Throughout the whole day, you saw the street, people enjoying, people having fun. Can you imagine what it's like? One night, try it, one night to sleep in the cold. And then realize, for some people, this is their life. And then you think, can we just ignore that? Can we just ignore that? Can we just say like, well, okay, my life's okay, so let it be. Can you imagine, once this happened to a devotee, he told me, they were sitting in a restaurant. You can imagine, they were sitting in a window by the restaurant. Anyway, then at one point they ordered and their meal came. So it was a nice restaurant, warm, then the meal came. And then at the moment the meal came, a homeless person came to the window and was just looking at them. It's a thought experiment. Now what are you going to do? Option number A, just carry on having your meal. But can you really comfortably have the meal? Like this fellow, look, it's a little uncomfortable, isn't it? Option number B is you move back into the restaurant so that you don't have to see that person. And option number C is you go out and you do something to help that person. Which one would you do? Option A sounds difficult. We should experiment. You can check it on YouTube. Freezing child experiment. Basically what they do is that in New York City, in like minus 10, they put this child on the side of the street, who's basically freezing, and then they video it. And it's like for 1 hour, people just walk straight past this child and don't do anything. And the most amazing thing is when I looked at it, I thought, you know what? If I walked past, would I stop? When you see it on the video that no one's stopping, in your mind you think, this is crazy. No one's stopping? But then when you put yourself in their shoes, you think, would I stop? Or have I just become so oblivious? Have I become so apathetic? Have I become so desensitized to the suffering of others that I don't feel I need to do anything? So, bhakti, to have bhakti for Krishna means we have to have a soft heart. If we don't have a soft heart, it's going to be very difficult to awaken love for Krishna. And if we have a hard heart towards other people, if we're impersonal towards other people, it's going to be very difficult to have a soft heart. And therefore when we go out and we help others, then our hearts become very soft, many, many people become very much benefited, and Krishna becomes active and pleased. And that's the great opportunity that lies before each one of us. December is the time when Krishna consciousness can become very active. Throughout the year we do so many beautiful things. We read, we chant, we go on retreats, we have wonderful events. But in December, we take all of that and we go out and we help people and we say, make your life better. It's the best job in the world, to make people's lives happier, to make people's lives more wholesome, to make people's lives free of suffering. What can be a better gift to others than that? And so we have something amazing, and therefore we're encouraging all the devotees to go out together and do it. And it can be done. Yesterday we haven't been out. Probably you haven't been out door to door for a long time, right?
An hour, maximum.
Yeah, we went for an hour, but when was the last time you went door to door? Last year. So we just went out after 1 year. Everyone was not in the flow of it. We had not been for 1 year. But we just met up. And we just said, let's try. And we all went out for 1 hour. And in 1 hour, between us, we distributed 100 books and people gave £200 in donations. People were happy. There was no negativity. All those 100 books are out there. Someone will read them. When you stop to think about it, you think like, could there be a better way to spend your Friday night than just to do that? Imagine that. It's amazing. You've changed lives. And if you continue doing that, how much Krishna's blessings will descend. So don't think it's too hard. Don't think it's too unattainable. Everyone can do it, and you just have to find your own way. And it will be magical. You'd have so many stories to tell, I guarantee you. You'll be sitting here for hours sharing with each other your stories. Because book distribution is Krishna's pastimes in this world. You see, there's only one service. Did you know there's only one service that you can do in this world that you can't do in the spiritual world? There's only one service. Every other service you can do in the spiritual world, but there's one thing you can't do in the spiritual world. That is share Krishna consciousness. Because everyone in the spiritual world, they're already Krishna conscious, you know? You can't really do that service in the spiritual world. It's the unique service, the one service that you can only do while you're here. And it can change someone's life. It can change someone's life. 10 years down the line, you'll meet people and they'll come to you and they'll say, thank you. Thank you for making the effort and coming out and giving me a book, because it changed my life. Even today, book distributors, people come up to them and say, you changed my life. And they're like, I've never met you before. They're like, no, but I remember you. 10 years ago, you gave me a book. So yeah, be part of it. Be part of the magic. And see Krishna. See Krishna right in front of you. Hare Krishna. I think we wanted to do some brainstorming today and have some ideas, but before we do that, I don't know if anyone has any questions, any comments, any realizations, or anything you'd like to ask based on just what we've discussed this morning. Does anyone have any questions? Yes.
I think 2 years ago, maybe before COVID, you came and took all of our sound, including our children, and you told us simple things that we can start our opening statements. Maybe if you can, I freeze when I... You have the recording? Okay, thank you.
Yeah, those lines are there. And today we'll go out and, you know, I remind you, some of us here have done book distribution for some time, so we can all stand together and you can kind of see. There's always a way, there's always a line. In the beginning, just start with standard lines that you say. It might feel a little bit robotic, but in the beginning, just do that to get your confidence up. And then later on, you can start being very spontaneous, very, very real with people. But you just need to build up your confidence, your experience. Sometimes you look at people and you think that, my God, how am I speak to this person? And they look serious, they look like totally different to me, you know. But if you go in a good mood, if you go in a happy mood, if you go in a compassionate mood, people actually are ready to speak. Yeah. They're happy to speak. Yeah. Yeah. Like yesterday we were going on houses, Ashish Guru and myself, and we reflected that actually so many people on the doors just wanted to speak to someone. Mm-hmm. But people were like, we're like, we gotta get to the next house, you know. They're like, oh no, they keep talking, because people wanna speak. People wanna meet a genuine person. So don't feel like you're being a nuisance. Sometimes you feel like, I don't want to be a nuisance.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just stopping all these people. But you're not being a nuisance, because a certain percentage of people want to actually speak to someone and have a genuine conversation about something deeper than just the normal material things. And the other percentage of people that don't want to be stopped, later on, they'll appreciate that you stop them. We never wanted to go to school, but our parents told us, because they knew in the future you'll thank me. So there are so many things that some... Of course, we're not just going to be intrusive into people's lives and just be like, stop, I'm doing this for your good, and listen to me. Like, okay, we had some culture, how we do it, yeah. In a nice way. But you know. Hari Swami Prabhu, he was in India. You know, in India it's like crowd control, very difficult. Indian, you know, right? So Prabhupada, he was speaking to Prabhupada about crowd control in India, and Prabhupada said, you have to push them. You have to push. He said, no, I can't. Like, in the West, you don't push people, you know, like private space, you have to be respectful. So Prabhupada said, no. In India, when you're controlling crowds, you have to push them. You just push. And then Prabhupada said, but the formula is, the more you smile, the more you can push. So, if you go in a happy spirit, if you go in a jolly mood, you can go into people's lives a bit without them feeling like, whoa, this is too much, you know. So, everyone is preaching. You see, sometimes we think, oh, we're going out and now we're preaching. Everyone's preaching. In the shop windows, there's all these adverts. What is it? It's preaching. In the department stores, there's all these things that you have to listen to. You know, adverts. What is it? That's preaching. When you walk, there's all these, adverts that you have to watch in between programs. What's that? That's preaching. Everyone's preaching. Once I was in university and I was putting up posters for an event, and one person came up to me and he said, why are you preaching? If you believe it, it's okay, but why do you have to preach it to others? And then I said to him, why are you preaching to me that I shouldn't preach? That's also preaching. I said, you're also preaching. Why are you preaching to me? Let me do what I want to do. So everyone is preaching. Everyone is giving an idea. But we have ideas that are going to help people to actually find happiness. Why would we not share it? Imagine you have the cure to cancer. But you don't give it. And people are dying right in front of you, and you're just like, well, yeah, you know, I don't want to. I'm a bit tired, you know. In the future, I'll help them out. No, I'm serious. Samsara dharma nanadita loka. This world is like a forest fire. It's on fire. And once we were on book distribution, and halfway through the day, we decided to go back to the car park, to take some snacks, you know, turn the engine on, put the heat on, just get a recharge. Anyway, you know what it's like when devotees sit down somewhere, they fall asleep, you know. I forget about sitting down. I've even seen devotees fall asleep while standing up. Devotees can sleep anywhere. I've seen it. Anyway, we fell asleep, we were in the car. And then the amazing thing is, as we were both sleeping, it was me and my sanctuary partner, there's this knock on the window. We're like, just like totally out of it. You feel like you slept for like 10 hours or something. And then this person, and he ran down the street, and he said, what are you guys doing? Get out there! You got important work to do! I was like, who is this? Is this a devotee? So it wasn't even a devotee. It was just someone we had met on the street and we had given a book to. And he said, what are you guys doing here? You should be out there. You got important work to do. And it was interesting. It was like, even these people realized this is important stuff. It's like serious business. So, once I was going out in Southampton, I went onto the street and there was a busker. You know, like when you do book distribution for a long time, it's like everyone has their spot on the street in every town. So you remember the same people because you meet them all the time. The main people are like those selling Big Issue, the buskers, the charity workers. You know, you have to compete with all these people. Everyone has their spot. Anyway, I came onto the street, this busker was there. So I would always distribute right next to him. So we have been meeting each other for like 15 years or something. Anyway, there was a break of 1 year, and then I got onto the street and then I met him. So it was after a year. So he said, "Oh, you're back." I said, "Yeah." He said, "You guys, same old books, same old lines, same old business." He looked at me and said, and then I looked at him and I said, "And you, same old instrument, same old songs, same old spot, doing the same old thing." And he said, "Yeah, you're right, actually." And then I realized, you've got to be committed to something. Everyone in this world is committed to something. So this guy, for 20 years, 30 years, he comes out on the street and just sings the same songs every day. Some people go to work and they just do the same job every single day. Everyone in this world has to be committed to something. So why not become committed to something that's actually going to change people's lives? That's a great opportunity. So anyway, yeah. So yes, Mataji, we'll go out and you can, you'll pick it up. Yes. Any other questions or anything else anyone wants to ask or get?
Thank you, Maharaj. Pre-COVID, I used to carry some whole fruits in my bag. Mm-hmm. Because on the way to work or back, you would always come across some homeless people.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes I used to see I'm hungry and all kinds of signs you can see. So I used to try to give it to some who can take it. And also I had the card of Food for Life of Soho. Mm. So I used to give them that that card. So once, actually a few times, you know, I gave them a fruit and he threw it back. It was like, so one or two people actually gladly took it. And then somebody was polite to say, "No, I don't want, I just need cash." Mm. And then just the other day, this time I didn't have fruits in my bag. Myself and my colleague were walking past very old person, and I was seeing him taking stuff out of the bin and trying to look for some food. So I went past, like you said, I just went past what was going on. Then I looked back and I felt really bad. I came back. I said, "Do you want some food?" So he stopped and then he looked at me for like few seconds, and then he used all those F words, and it so, you know, sometimes,
yeah, our duty is only to try. You see, going on the street is also like the school of life. We learn so much when we go out on Sankirtan that you don't even learn in school. You have to become humble on the street. See, that's one of the reasons I go out. Nowadays, I walk around, you know, with one of these sticks. And, you know, you go in and so much respect. But when you're on the street, people don't know, "Oh, he is a Maharaj." You're just a normal person. And then people just treat you as a normal. And then you realize, actually, I'm just a normal person. Who am I, anyway? Am I such a big person? Am I so important? You learn humility is very grounding. You learn to be more tolerant than a tree. You learn to take the insults. You know, used to stop people. "Oh yeah, sir, have you got a moment? I'm a traveling monk." "Yeah, just keep on traveling." All these kind of things people say. So it's good. It's good for us sometimes to also go through that. And we realize, actually, yeah, we develop some humility. We learn not to react. We learn not to retaliate. And but our duty is to try. You know, there was a story of a brahmana who used to come into the river every day to take his midday bath. And one day when the Brahmana came into the river, then he saw a scorpion that was drowning. So what the Brahmana did is he said, the scorpion's drowning. Let me try and pick up the scorpion from drowning. And as soon as he picked up the scorpion from drowning, the scorpion bit him and he had to let the scorpion go. Then as he let the scorpion go, the scorpion went back into the river and started drowning again. So the Brahmana went again to pick the scorpion, and again the scorpion bit him, he had to let the scorpion go. And then again as the scorpion fell, it was drowning again. And then the Brahmana came again, and he picked it, and as he was going again, someone said, why do you keep picking it up? It keeps biting you. And then the Brahmana said, it's the nature of the scorpion to bite, but it's become my nature to serve. And therefore, just as the scorpion, no matter what, even if someone's trying to help it, can't stop itself from biting because it's become his nature, me, my nature is to serve, and therefore, even though people may be ungrateful, unreceptive, not reciprocating, still I must serve. That is Vaishnava.
Okay.
Vaishnava means someone whose nature has become to serve, even when people are inimical. So who are we? Even Srila Prabhupada said, in Mayapur I just face opposition from my godbrothers. In Vrindavan I faced opposition from all the caste Goswamis. In Bombay, I faced opposition from the government. And in America, I faced opposition from the deprogrammers. Everywhere I travel, there's opposition. But I still keep giving. So, yes, when we go out on the street, it's not that everyone will just be like, wow, you came, you are doing the most amazing. There may also be a few other people who have different opinions, you know. That's okay. We are humble, and we say, you know, everyone, each to his own. Yeah, some thoughts. But thank you for your spirit of not turning a blind eye to other people's suffering. The basic problem in the world today is that everyone has become expert at turning a blind eye to the suffering of others. The lowest level is apathy. This is the lowest. If your apathy means you're apathetic, you don't even think about other people's suffering. Higher than apathy is sympathy. You feel bad. But you feel bad from a distance. Oh, that person is suffering. I feel so bad for them. But higher than sympathy is empathy. I feel so bad about that person, so uncomfortable that I feel I should do something to help them. Therefore, Shastra says, Vaishnava is para dukha dukhi. They're not apathetic. They're not even just sympathetic. But they're so sick that they feel another person's suffering to be just like their own suffering. If tomorrow you got a cut on your hand, you wouldn't just be like, okay, yeah, we'll deal with that later. No, it's a cut on your hand. You deal with it now because it's on your hand. But Vaishnava, when they see other people suffering, they feel like that. Just as you wouldn't delay to mend your own suffering. You can't delay to mend the suffering of others. This is real spiritual life. How can we be Krishna conscious if we're not sensitive to others in this world? So thank you for your spirit. And this is what the world needs. More people like that who will actually try to help others. What makes us Krishna conscious? Is it just that we chant many rounds a day? Is it just that we wake up really early in the morning? Is it just that we know many shlokas and we've passed all our exams? Or we've got the names and we've taken the initiations? If you do all of those things, but you don't genuinely feel compassion for other people, then can you really say the Vaishnava? So, yes, you're showing a great example. Thank you. No, honestly, it's nice. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble. Thank you very much for so many nice messages, Maharaj. That, in fact, it's right, you say just add Krishna, and I feel like yes, it changed completely. You feel like it's just adding words.
My big friend.
Well, my question is, like, when we give our books in different homes or even on the street, yes, our intention is that they use these books in the right way, right spirit. Mm-hmm. And we don't try to force also, but sometimes it's like a mid-deal. You can say, oh, I don't want books, or no. You say, no, please try to. These are nice books about something. Yeah? We explain a little bit and we try to give the books. If they are not using these books in the right spirit, in the right way, or misusing maybe different, is that karma also like coming to us and that we are also part of the chain?
So the Prabhupada said the devotee is willing to take the risk. Tomorrow you may distribute a book and someone will walk down the street and throw it in the bin. That's aparad. The granta, Krishna, has gone in the bin. That's not good. But the devotee is so compassionate that the devotee feels, let me give them a chance. And because the devotee has so much compassion, even if there is some karmic consequence of them being very compassionate and giving people a chance and then people misusing it, Krishna says, yoga kshema bahamyaham, I will carry what you lack, I will preserve what you have, I will take care of you. Masucha, don't fear. So we should be confident that Krishna will protect, even if sometimes there is something like that. As long as we do it in the right way, we should distribute the books in the right way, we should distribute the books in the right spirit. And if we do everything from our side to do the service nicely and someone still does something like that, then Krishna will help. But we just have to make sure that we don't distribute books or try to preach in such a way that it will aggravate people to do that. Like if you push someone so much that they feel all forced to take the book, and then later on they feel so annoyed by that that they just think, okay, just throw this away. Then that's our fault. So therefore you have to know the art of how to encourage someone, inspire someone, without coming across as being pushy or preachy or like that. That's a great art. Everyone, we must leave with a good impression. The measure is, after you meet someone, you have to ask yourself, if this person saw me again, would they be inspired to come over to me and talk to me? And if the answer is no, it doesn't matter if you've given them a book or taken a donation, you might have actually done a disservice, isn't it? So the measure should always be, when this person leaves, would they feel inspired to speak to me again, to see me again? Or if next time they saw me on the street, would they cross the street to think, oh my God, speak like that again, you know, he's going to ask me for money, or that's not good. So always leave everyone with a good impression. Yeah. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you. Ma'am.
Any other questions or any other things? Yes, ma'am.
The way you said that, sorry Maharaj, already we see in our spot in Prime Council when people go, they cross and go the other way so that they don't have to meet the book table. And it happens so many times. We see them take a different trajectory.
Some people will do that, no matter. We have to just make sure, like, we're out there to do a job, and we try to do the service in the best way we can.
Yeah.
So we just have to make sure there's nothing that we're doing which is aggravating it. But there will always be a certain percentage of people who will just be like, you know, like some people just go Pala Harinam and are just like, you know, like, down here, you know.
Yeah.
And then people say, oh, you're committing noise pollution,
yeah,
and you're forcing people. But then what about all the people that smoke on the street and force everyone else to smoke? Because that's okay. We don't worry about that. What are you going to campaign against that? What about all the other adverts on the street that you have to hear, that you have no choice over? You don't have a problem with that. So everyone vimukti kama manam charanti vijanena parayatanishta netan vihaya kripanan vimumuksha eko nayatadasya saranam bhavato upasye. He said there are some yogis manam charanti vijanena alone to the heights of the Himalayan mountains, and they engage in meditation vimukti Moksha, eko, to liberate themselves. But Prahlad says, I don't want to just go to the mountain, be silent, and liberate myself. I want to go into the cities. I want to go into where all the people are who are suffering because of lack of spiritual knowledge. And I want to help them. I have no problem myself. I'm happy. But my only issue is that I can't bear to see other people suffering. Therefore, I have to go to them and do something. So this is why we don't go to the street to take anything from anyone. See, we think, oh, I'm taking their money, I'm taking their time. No, no, you're giving. You see, Prabhupada was in a press conference, and then an Indian reporter, this was in America, and an Indian reporter put his hand up and he said, Swamiji, why have you come to America? As if it's his country, he's also an Indian. Swamiji, why have you come to America? So Prabhupada looked at him and said, why have you? So he said, for better opportunities. Prabhupada said, me too. And then Prabhupada looked at him and he said, but you came for better opportunities to take money, to take comfort, to take position, to take influence. You want to take from America. But I came to give knowledge, to give inspiration, to give hope, to give Krishna consciousness. So when we're on the street, we're not there to take anything from anyone. So Jay, the door, the book of Jay, I'm fine. I have no worries for myself. I could be at home chanting my rounds, I'm happy. I'm out here because I'm here to give. We live to give. Without giving, there's no life. You see, breathing means you inhale, but then you exhale. And then you inhale again, and then you have to exhale. If you just kept inhaling, we don't come to the Krishna consciousness movement just to inhale more prasadam. More for me. No, we need all of that. But then we must give. Then it becomes dynamic. Giving, receiving, giving, receiving, giving, receiving. Like this. This is the rhythm of life. This is how Krishna consciousness becomes dynamic. So in a community where this breathing is going on, then the community is alive. Otherwise, we're just inhaling. There's nothing. So yeah, we have to make sure, you know, like when we're doing a kirtan, it should not be like the sound system is like on, you know, 10 plus and so loud that it's like, you know, we have to let the whole street know we're here. You know, like, we shouldn't be like obtrusive. intrusive into people's lives. Yeah. Like in India, the sound systems are so loud. They're so loud. In India, I've never had any sound system. Some, you know, magical technology. So I think maybe we should not bring a sound system like that onto like Croydon and High Street. It might be a little like, people might think that, oh, these guys are a little bit. No, we go on to Croydon. We're not hiding. We're there. We do it in a nice way, with nice instruments, nice sound system, not like overbearing, but we're there. And any reasonable people will walk past and say, these are nice people. And there will always be a percentage of people who say, ah, oh, this is not how to live. What to do? What to do? As long as when we stop someone, we should just not be like, you know, like when they're walking, just like stop right in front of them so that, you know, like a security guard. You know, like, no, I'm here with a message from God, you know. You know, we don't want to be like that. But, you know, yeah, stop them in a nice way. Hey, how you doing? Have you gone home? I know you're busy, just a few moments. Give it a try. In a nice way. People may like it. Everybody's a bit funny. He said this one Italian book distributor. They're very charming, you know. He's once he gave a book to someone, he said, so you're going to give a donation. Just give a donation. So this person gave £10. And said, yes, yes. So we do very good work. If you give another donation, I'll show you a magic trick. He says, I'll show you a magic trick if you give another donation. I'm looking at him. Italian compared to anything. It was so strong, you know? So he went into his pocket, whatever luck is there, he put it out like another £15. They gave another £15. He said, oh, thank you for your donation. Then this Italian distributor started walking up and said, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. You said you're going to show me a magic trick. He said, look in your pocket, everything has disappeared. I mean, if we were trying to do that, you know, it's like a punch in the face. You know. Oh, really, you got away with it. That was impressive, you know. But, you know, you have to know like what you can do. Like, you may not do such a thing, you know. But the person was back, he was like laughing, he was happy, he was like, he was ready to even get more money, you know. He was like, it's amazing. So yeah, it's amazing. Sankirtan is the school of life. You learn everything. What you don't learn in school, you learn on book distribution. I felt like that. For me, it was the school of life. I had the fortune for many years, something maybe 12, 13, 14 years, traveling up and down the country. We had this thing, we want to visit every single town in this country and do one full day of book distribution. So we got a list, there was about 560 towns in the UK, and we said it's our mission that in this life we should do one full day of book distribution in every single town. So we're traveling up and down the country in a motorhome, and then we got to about 380 towns and around the country, in different places. We did a full day of book distribution. And it was nice, it was amazing. You'd meet people and, yeah, just waiting to meet. Amazing experience, best times. So we can all be part of it, you know. It's a great opportunity.